in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place. Beware the Arameans are going down there, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king, so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel." "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And our New Testament reading comes from the Epistle of Paul to the church at Galatia. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for last night. I thank you for the joyous time and the joyous musical. I thank you for the students and all the hard work and the energy and the time that I know they put in. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to sing and be reminded that you did come. You were long expected, and you came at Christmas, and you are long expected again. Lord, I thank you for the time when we could confess our sins and hear that in Christ we are forgiven. And now, Lord, I pray that in this time that we would hear your word. That your word, which is so living and it's so active, Lord, that I pray that you would apply it to our lives and apply it to our hearts. Lord, speak to us this morning what you would have us to hear. Help us, Lord, though we might be tired, to listen and to hear your word. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but you probably or maybe feel a little tired this morning. I know some of you guys were up pretty late at the musical. I hear some of the high schoolers were out at movies last night. They think it's Christmas break already, some of these kids. I hear they're a little out of control. So maybe you're coming this morning and you feel tired. Maybe you're coming in this morning and you have all kinds of other emotions going on. You're maybe starting to get a little nervous, excited for Christmas. Maybe you haven't bought Christmas gifts for brothers or sisters, mom or dad or whoever it is. Maybe you're a little scared that you have to go to the mall or some store this weekend or whatever it might be. Okay. This morning's psalm is going to talk about the emotion of fear. The emotion of fear. And that's something that I think we can all identify with. When I was growing up, my dad loved to watch movies with us, in particular cowboy and war movies. Cowboys and war. And if you watched cowboys and war movies in my house growing up, there was one actor that kept showing up time after time after time. And his name was John Wayne. John Wayne, nicknamed the Duke. And my dad, I remember watching movies with him, and one of his favorites was called The Cowboys. And we would watch these movies about these boys who were learning to be men from John Wayne. And John Wayne was just this tough cowboy who would ride into any situation and he would win the day. And he was just a hard man. All the women loved John Wayne. You know, he was a strapping, dashing man in his younger days. You know, and so he was just, as a boy, I would watch him and I would think, that's what it looks like to be a man. You're never afraid no matter what. You know, there might be 30 outlaws against you, but you just walk in with your six shooters and you just start gunning them down. That's what I learned from John Wayne. Didn't matter if it was a cowboy or a war movie, whatever it was, he was always the biggest and the baddest. And I remember my dad saying things like, boys, that's a man. See, because my dad's dad was a farmer and a soldier. And so I think when he watched John Wayne, I think my dad saw a lot of his dad. And so he wanted us to grow up in that tradition that said, you know, men or manliness is not being afraid of things. But I immediately realized, and I've come to realize, that there's a little bit that's missed out on that idea of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a young lady. Because I think we all get afraid sometimes. I don't know about you guys, but I know that still I have times where I am very afraid. About a month ago, I lost my voice. I lost the ability to sing in the upper register completely or talk in the upper register. So I could go, and then my voice would just stop right there. So I had to stay down. I lost part of my voice. And that's really scary for me because I talk a lot. I talk way too much, but I talk a lot. And so the idea of losing my voice is terrifying to me. I often wondered, oh my word, what if I lost my sight? I love reading. What if I lost my sight? I wouldn't be able to read books anymore. That would be terrifying to me. As a parent, I came to know a whole new fear. What if one of my sons died? Oh my goodness. And it's so easy to become paralyzed by fear. One of the fears that's dominant in our household, especially on Levi's side of things, or in particular on Levi's side of things, is fear of shadows. Fear of shadows. He hates shadows. He's like the opposite of Peter Pan. You know, Peter Pan trying to catch his shadow, Levi's the opposite. If shadows never ever showed up again in his life, he would be thrilled to the gills. He has no need for shadows in his life. If books are placed in a weird position in his room when he goes to bed so that the nightlight hits it and casts a shadow, he will come and he'll get me and he'll say, Dad, are there shadows? And I'll go up and it's a book, you know, and you're like, oh my word. Why are you afraid of the shadow that a book's making on the wall? But that's something he's really afraid of. He's really afraid of shadows. He's also really afraid of storms. A couple weeks ago, if you guys remember, we had that really severe storm. He was so scared. He asked me if I would come up and lay down with him because in his room, there's a window up top that lets light in during the daytime, but the rain was really loud on the window. So I went up and I laid down with him and, you know, I was rubbing his back and he was just so afraid of the loud noise the rain was making. And then when the lightning and the thunder would come, he was so scared. And so I was laying there with him and I said, okay, Levi, when we're scared, we can trust that Jesus is gonna look out for us and that Jesus is there for us. And so we can pray that Jesus will be there in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fear. Well, about 15 minutes later, after I had left the room, Levi came back downstairs again and he said, I asked Jesus to stop the storm and he did not stop the storm. So please come back up. You know, so sometimes we feel like, oh my word, maybe if I just ask God to help me, then it'll all be better. But guys, a lot of time in our life, it's not better immediately. Levi felt like 15 minutes was a good long time to wait for Jesus to stop that storm. And if he didn't stop it in 15 minutes, time was up. I expected a 15-minute storm stop. So he came back down. This morning, we come to Psalm 27, where David speaks to us, and we can hear him as the poet wrestling back and forth with his emotion of fear And yet also with his belief that God is there for him in the midst of the fearful times. So listen to Psalm 27. David says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besieges me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call to you, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. David starts off with a double question. Are you guys starting to see a pattern in the Psalms that they often start with a question? And I think, again, I think that's because we ask a lot of questions as human beings. Why is this happening? Who is he? Where am I? What's going on? Some of them are smaller questions. Some of them are bigger questions. You know, why am I stuck in traffic? Oh, I should have left 30 minutes earlier. Some of them are larger questions. And here, David asks a double rhetorical question. Who can tell us what a rhetorical question is? Casey. Good. A question you're not supposed to answer because the answer is obvious. So listen to David's double rhetorical question. He asks this: "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" And you might think to yourself, oh my word, David, you should be afraid of a lot of things. I'm afraid of a lot of things. Who's that scary person over there? Levi came to the musical last night, and if any of your parents came to try to say hi to Levi, he very quickly buried his head or slipped around to the back of me so that he didn't have to face those terrifying people. There was only one person last night of whom Levi was not afraid. His name is Mr. Herman, because Levi knows Mr. Herman. And so when Levi sees Mr. Herman, he gets a big smile. Levi was even afraid of Heather McIntyre. Okay? And so for you guys, maybe you think, David, that's not a rhetorical question at all. The world is scary. There are scary people. I don't know those people. Like Levi. But it's a rhetorical question because David balances that question with these two assertions. He says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." You see, David knows that he has no reason to be afraid because of who God is. That is, God is a certain thing. God acts a certain way that leads to David's conclusion about fear. So listen again and hear how they're bound up. David says something is true about God, and therefore something is true about his lack of fear. So he says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He uses an illustration here, the image of God as stronghold. the image of God as stronghold. And I grew up in Texas, and there's a very famous fort, a very famous stronghold down in San Antonio, Texas. What is the name of that fort down in San Antonio, Texas?
Where Davy Crockett and William Travis went and fought. Cameron.
The Alamo. If you ever go to San Antonio, Texas, you must visit the Alamo. But what you will immediately realize is when you go to see the Alamo, you will say, that's not much of a fort at all. And it's not. It's actually an old church that the Texians turned into a fort to try to withstand the army of Santa Anna. So it's actually not much of a stronghold at all. But it's the most famous fort that I knew of. But you can imagine being in a fort, a very strong fort, the opposite of George Washington's Fort Courage. No, Fort Necessity, pardon me. This is a very strong fort. So you can imagine being in the stronghold of God, this mighty castle, more like the medieval castles that the third graders study with Mrs. Wiersma. A strong fort with crenellations and turrets and parapets from which you could look down on the enemy. And you can imagine a fort like that being attacked by the preschoolers. No offense, preschoolers. Okay? An army of preschoolers arrays itself against the mighty stronghold. Or even against the Alamo, a not as mighty stronghold. If you were a soldier inside that fort, would you be afraid of the army of the preschoolers? No! No offense, preschoolers. Okay? There would be no reason to be afraid of an army of preschoolers. I'll even throw the kindergartners in. There's still no reason to be afraid of such an army. They're not going to hurt you, okay? They're not as dangerous of an army, right? You could sit up there and you'd be like, they're not going to get at me. I'm pretty safe up here. That is the very logic that David employs here. If God is my stronghold, if God is my salvation, if the army of God fights for me, why should I be afraid of the army of men? I shouldn't. Who's stronger, the angels of God's army or the Arameans or the Babylonians or the struggles that come to you? And so David employs this logic. I know who God is, and I know how strong he is, and I know how mighty he is, and I know that he is for me, that he is my stronghold. He is my castle. He is my Alamo. Why should I be afraid? He says, when evil men advance against me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. And there it is again. You can't come against me because God fights for me. And guys, the first thing that I want us to learn this morning from the psalm is that you have nothing to be afraid of, though there are many hard things in your life. You don't have to fear that college acceptance letter. You don't have to fear that test. You don't have to fear that next big due date. You don't have to be afraid, well, maybe I didn't make the soccer team I wanted to make. You don't have to be afraid that maybe something might happen to my mom or to my dad. I don't have to be afraid of financial struggles. I don't have to be afraid that maybe one of my sons might die because God is for me. And that is a really hard truth to believe. Believe me on that. It is really hard to believe that you don't have to be afraid because God is for you. And that's where David takes it. Because in the midst of life, while we know that our Lord is a warrior and that our God loves us and that our God sustains us, the reality of the world around us is that it's very easy to be afraid. And it's very easy to fear many things. So David, after talking about how he is going to dwell in God's presence, David shifts tones. And he wonders, I think, and he says, but what about during those hard times? So in verse 9, skipping down just a little bit, he says, O Lord, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Guys, the reality of our lives is that we are often afraid. And that oftentimes things happen in our lives that we don't understand. Hard things happen at home. Maybe hard things happen at school. Maybe your friend who you thought was your best good friend said something that just cut you to the bone. That's where it's really hard to trust that God is your salvation and that God is your fortress. And David says that, Lord, don't reject me. Don't forsake me. Though everyone else might reject me, though everyone else might turn against me. And David even says, even my mom or my dad could turn against me. Oh my goodness. I can't imagine what a situation that would be, that your mom or your dad would turn against you. But David says, even in that situation, Lord, don't you reject me. Lord, I know you're faithful, even if everyone else is faithless. But just like Levi in the storm, who waits for 15 minutes and then says, God isn't acting. He's not making it happen quickly enough. David ends his poem on a similar note. The last two verses. He says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. One of the hardest disciplines of the Christian life, I believe, is patience. Do you guys know what the word patience means? See, often in English ears, we think patience just means waiting a long time. It's actually not what patience means. Hopefully one of my Latin nerds can tell me. Patience comes from the Latin verb patior, which means I suffer. Patience means suffering for a long time. The old King James Bible used to translate it this way, long suffering. And I love that translation. Because when I think of waiting, I think of, you know, going to a doctor's office and kind of sitting there and tapping my toe. Maybe reading a magazine or a book, just waiting for the doctor to call me in. That's what I think of when I think of waiting. But the biblical idea of patience is actually closer to what David's talking about right here. Things are hard. Things aren't going the way I want them to. I sure wish everything was working out nicely, but it's not. I've waited 15 minutes, God, and you haven't stopped this storm yet. I've waited 15 days, God, and you haven't stopped this storm yet. I've waited 15 years, God, and you haven't stopped this storm yet. And David says, even though I have to wait for the Lord, I'm confident that the Lord is my salvation, that the Lord is my fortress, and that just because I have to wait, just because I have to suffer, I will not lose heart that my God is for me and that he wants the best for me. So boys and girls, men and women, take heart. Take heart. Just because today or yesterday or last year hasn't gone as you wanted it to, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Our God loves us dearly, that though everyone else might forsake us, he will not forsake us. But that does not mean he will necessarily respond in 15 minutes to the storms of our life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord God, I confess that I do not wait for you. Lord, that waiting is hard and that suffering is hard and that truly being patient for you is hard. And yet, Lord, help me believe. Help me believe that you are for me, that you do not and will not and have not forsaken me or any of your children. Lord God, help us to know you. Help us to trust that you know what is best for us. Lord God, we lift up your name, and we ask that you would be with us this day. For whatever the trials are that we will face, help us to trust in you. We have no reason to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of, for you are with us. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, whom you sent to show us how much you loved us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise.